Hello, listeners, and welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you are still subscribed to this podcast, thank you. It's been a really long time since our last season. I think about like 7 months. I am so sorry. I had to move my entire life across the country and then fund it all. And it was hard. It was harder than I thought, man. And I had to change my podcast platform. And all I want to do is listen to ghost stories. And I hope that you do too. And if you are still subscribed and you're listening or you found this podcast, there's been a really long break. And please tell your friends and your family and your enemies and everyone you know that the podcast is back, because I fear I may have lost some listeners while I was, you know, trying to stay alive here. My name is Emily Winter. I'm a writer and comedian in Los Angeles now, and I love ghost stuff and ghost stories. And what I do is seek out ghost stories from creative people, because that is my network. If you are a creative person listening to this who has a real ghost story that you want to tell, reach out to me. My email is emcwinter@gmail. My website's emilywintercomedy.com, and that's where you can find me. And one more silly plug, because it's the beginning of the school year before we get into the ghost stories. I am so sorry. I have a trivia book. It is called One Day Smarter. It is uplifting. It is light. It's a little funny. There is a chapter called Morbid Facts for Know-It-All Goths in the book. It came out in October. The facts are still very relevant. And the beginning of the school year is a great time to buy it, because we are all thinking bookish thoughts again. So anyway, grab a copy. It will make me very happy. It is the best thing you can do to support this podcast is buy my book. I know, but I do this podcast by myself. When the book numbers rise, that means I can write another book, and I want to write another book. I would love that. Okay, enough about me. So sorry for the long delay. Thank you so much for continuing to listen. I really appreciate you. And I am so excited for this season, because I've recorded a bunch of podcasts and I am kicking it off with quite a doozy that I absolutely love. So anyway, I don't even remember how to intro a podcast. Here we go. Comedians with Ghost Stories is happening again. Today on the podcast, I am super excited to have writer, storyteller Eileen Kelly. Eileen, thank you so much for doing the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Well, I am so excited, because you were just filling me in a little bit before we started the pod on what's happening in this podcast today, and it is a lot. So where do we even begin with you? Because I'm wondering if we should start with what happened when you were 15 to just lead it into your first story.
Okay. Yeah. So when I was 15, I always had really bad asthma, since I was born. And, when I was 15, I had a really bad asthma attack, and my dad and I were in a car. We were lost. My dad was always getting lost, and it was foggy. And, anyway, long story short, I had this attack for a long time, which ended up collapsing my left lung. And then, I eventually died, and they resuscitated me at the hospital, and I was on a ventilator for 2.5 weeks. But yeah, I died for a little while. So.
Oh my gosh. So with that, I'm so sorry that you died. So glad you're here. Knowing that you have already sort of crossed in may make sense for your amazing stories that happened to you in your life. And I will let you take it away with your first story.
Yeah. So cut to years later, I am at I'm an adult, I'm a mom, and I go to this, homeopathic doctor who is also an MD twice over. And, so she's really smart. She's not flaky. She was, an endocrinologist and an OBGYN, but then she got into homeopathy like for personal reasons. And so I went to go see her, and I'm sitting in her office, and I'm expecting her to tell me like how to change my diet or what remedy she's going to give me or what vitamins I need. And, behind me, there's this sconce on her wall and this light, and it keeps flicking on and off, on and off. And she said, your mom is here. And my mom had died about 8.5 years before that. So that was really weird. And like, she had no way of knowing that my mom wasn't alive. And it's not like I went to a medium, you know.
It's not what you came there for.
Yeah, not at all. And so it really kind of freaked me out, not because I didn't believe that that was possible, but it made me a little upset. You know what I mean? Like, I just wasn't emotionally like braced for that.
Right.
And so I was like, what do you mean? And she said that's your mom, like turning the light on and off. She wants me to tell you, you know, some things. And she's like talking to me about what my mom is saying. And I'm kind of like having a hard time processing it. And she says, do you ever, she goes, you know, you can hear her too, if you just like tune in. And she's like, I can feel that you have the same gift. And I'm kind of like, And
so when you're like, sorry, when your mom was talking to her, was it about regarding your health, which is why you went to see her in the first place? Yeah.
Yep.
Like what to do or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kind of like that I have to take better care of myself and like all this stuff. And so I was like, well, how do you hear her? And she goes, it's kind of like, she goes, you just have to like open yourself up more. She said, for me, it's almost like an old radio that you turn the dial and it's static until it comes in.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay. And she goes, but have you ever used a pendulum? I was like, no. So she pulls out this pendulum, which is kind of like a necklace with only one side of a chain. And hers was like, had a little wooden pendant on the bottom of it.
And it looks like like almost like a dagger with like a soft edge, right? Like
Like or a skinny acorn or something.
Yeah, you like a skinny.
So she hands it to me and I hold it and it starts like whipping around really enthusiastically. You know, it starts spinning in circles and I'm just holding my hand still. Like, I know I'm not moving my hand, so I'm just like, whoa. And she said, I've never seen it do that for anybody. And so she's like, you know, I don't know if you're interested, but like you should get one and like explore this, you know. So she gives me a list of all this stuff to get from the health food store. And I go to this health food store and I'm buying like, I don't know, bone broth and like teas and like fennel and all this. They have like produce and vitamins and herbs, and I'm getting all this, you know, it's like 20 different things that she told me I needed to get. So I'm getting them all and I go to the counter. And it's not like a metaphysical store or anything, but I get to the counter and then just randomly there's these three pendulums hanging from this little display at the counter. And I'm like,
crazy.
This is so weird. So I just buy one and I go home and I kind of Google it and I start using it. And it immediately has the same reaction that it did in her office. Like, it's whipping around. And she did tell me that you need to say a prayer before you use it to protect your pendulum and only work in the light, which I did. And I always do.
What kind of prayer, just out of curiosity? Like, is this,
you know,
like,
I just say, it's not a formal prayer, but I just say like, you know, please watch over my pendulum. Please let me work only in the light. Please let me only speak to the people that I want to speak to. Because I added that because I have had other people come through that I, not that were bad people, but just desperate. And I got really drained, like trying to help them. And like, you know, I had one girl that had been murdered who came through when I was trying to talk to my sister, who also passed away. That was really tough. Like, I called the FBI. I sounded like a kook. I'm like, I'm just like a mom and a comedian. Like, I have nothing to gain by calling you.
Right.
But like, here's what I'm told. And like, here's her name and she lives in Indiana and I think she must be missing. And like, it was terrible. Like,
oh my God,
I couldn't sleep. I felt so bad about this woman and how I wasn't like bringing her killer to justice. She showed me his picture online. Like,
what?
He ran a youth group at a church. Like, it was really disturbing.
Holy cow.
And like, I'm not, it's not like I'm a cop. Like, what can I do about it? I'm just like a person in New Jersey who's like getting this information. And I'm just like, I'm not crazy. Like, I called the town where she was from. And like, I mean, I don't think anybody ever, like the cop in the town, like basically laughed at me on the phone. And then I just wrote this letter to the FBI. And I was like, look, I have nothing to gain from this. Like, look me up online. I'm not crazy. Like, I'm a normal person.
Right.
But I don't know if anything ever happened. I finally had to just let it go. And it was so upsetting that I started saying, please only let me speak to the people that I'm asking to speak to. Because,
oh my gosh, this is like such a tangential story that is bigger than most stories that I hear. Like, so like, you
a lot
know,
of branches to it.
Yes. So as you were trying to speak to like deceased family members, or you are communicated to by a woman whose name you now know and whose killer's name you now know.
You know what was really freaky is she spelled out, this is when I learned how to, because all I can do with the pendulum is get a yes or no answer.
Okay.
Right? Like, I can't be like, I can't ask like an open question because I'm not hearing it. Right. I know I've been told by more than one like psychic that if I just opened myself more, I could hear it, but I'm kind of afraid to. Like, there's something in me that I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I like having it be limited. And so, but that makes me, I do hear it sometimes. Like, the more I do it, the more I see and hear things. Like, I'll do it for friends. Like, my friend's mom, who's also a comic, passed away. And she was really missing her a few months ago. She had been gone a little over a year. And she asked me to talk to her. And I did. And I said, and her dad had passed away when she was really young. Her dad had passed away when she was 9. And her parents were really, really in love. And her mom remarried. But her dad was really her mom's like love. And she was so sad and kind of angry at her mom for like leaving her and her kids. Like, her mom was her best friend. And I said, your mom is so happy. She's so happy to be with your dad. And I see them, they're looking at me and they're smiling and they're waving and they're driving away in a red convertible Cadillac with the top down, and it's a white top and white seats. And she said, oh my God, that's the car that my dad picked her up in for their first date.
Oh, yeah. So, oh my gosh.
It's crazy, the stuff that, you know, but I kind of like, I'll do that for like really close friends, but otherwise it's like, really, it takes a lot out of me. Like, I get really invested and really emotional. And like, by the end of it, I'm like a dish rag, you know? So
does it feel physically exhausting as well?
Yeah. And when I use the pendulum, just like when people say like, if there's like a ghost, a spirit in their house, right, they'll feel like a draft or like a cold, right?
Yeah.
A cold breeze. When I use the pendulum, the cold creeps up my fingers, up my arm.
Oh my God.
You know, and I kind of have to stop people. Like, if they, like, I had a friend who wanted to talk to his grandmother. And when it got like to my bicep, I'm like, I have to stop you here because I've gone past that. And then like, I'm drained for days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, people who really know what they're doing know how to like protect themselves from that. But like, I don't. So it just like, it just saps my energy, you know?
Right. Oh, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, it's like, I can't imagine. Holy crap. Okay. I'm sorry. I got us so off track here, but like, now I kind of like want to avenge this girl's murder.
Which is obsessed.
Not even the story that.
So brought me to this. I know, and believe me, it took me. Like, I sat down to like ask my sister who had died a few years before that, to ask her a question, like one question.
Yeah.
And then I was going to get on with my day, right? And the next thing I know, I'm talking to this young woman and I am with her, like, until I have to pick up my kids from school, I am talking to this woman and she's trying to talk to me. And at that point, I really couldn't do anything besides yes and no. And I'm like, can you tell me your name? And she's saying yes. And I'm like, how am I going to figure this out? So I wrote, which is, I guess, why Ouija boards exist, right? Which I had never used. But like, I wrote the alphabet down on a piece of paper and I just went through each letter, like painstakingly went through every letter until she said yes to the letter.
Oh, and, my gosh.
So spelled out her name. And you know, it could have been a jumble of letters, right? But it wasn't. It was a name. And then—
can you tell me her name? I just really want to know.
Catherine Abbott. I'll never forget it.
Oh my gosh. And,
so then she starts spelling out, I'm like, she starts spelling out, this jumble of like, not jumble, but almost like an, not an anagram, but like scuba, like, what's that called? Like, stand for another word.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Something gram, right?
Like, yes. I'm very embarrassed that I cannot think of what that is called.
An English major and I can't think of it.
A little note here from me after the fact. We're talking about acronyms. How embarrassing, we couldn't get it together. Okay, back to the story.
Anyway, like scuba, right? It stands for like self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Like, it's something like, she's spelling it out, but I'm like, that's not a word. Mm-hmm. And she keeps saying yes, 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 yes. And she's insisting, right? And that I don't remember because it was like a bunch of letters that didn't make any sense, but you could like say them, right? It was like Bruna or something like that.
Yeah.
So finally, I like ask her and she keeps saying yes. And I'm thinking like, did I write it wrong? Like, this doesn't mean anything. And then I Googled it and up pops this Christian organization.
Oh no.
And then I'm scrolling through the website of this Christian organization and the pendulum starts going. And there's a group photo. And then that was really the first time I feel like I got a feeling beyond just the yes and no. And I said, is there somebody on this website that you're trying to point me to? And she said, yes. And I said, is it the person who killed you? And she said, yes. And there was a group photo and all their names were underneath it, like from left to right, blah, blah, blah. And so I went through and I was pointing at each one and I would just hold the pendulum and point. And it was just going, no, 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 yes. And I got to this guy and he was like the youth minister, and she said that was him.
Well, what's he doing? He's just out there.
I don't know. This is years ago now. I became absolutely obsessed. I was sick over it. Like, I was like, I have three kids, including a baby. Like, do I need to drive to the Midwest and track this guy down myself? Like, I don't know what to do.
I'm going to be in Indiana in a couple of weeks. Like, can we just like go over the quest?
Should we just make it a quest for justice?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's right about. Okay. Wow. This is crazy. Can you tell me what town in Indiana, just so, or like what park do you remember?
No.
Because I'm like, am I going to be there literally?
No, I don't remember. I worked so hard to forget it, really. Yeah. Like, no. I had to like scrub it from my search history. I had left messages. I found her on Facebook. Like, I mean, I went down a rabbit hole to end all rabbit holes.
So you found her and like,
I was like, is this you? And she said, yes, like on the, you know, with the pendulum. And I was like,
This is insane. Oh my gosh.
And you really realize how, as just a person, you're so powerless. Like,
do you go up against these systems?
Yeah. Like, if the powers that be don't want to listen to you, there's nothing you can do.
Right. You know? Right. Like, if it were a movie, like,
yeah, like, there would be like a car and like, you know,
there would be like one like young FBI agent who's like, I believe her. And then like, you, but like in real life, it's just like all bureaucracy and like being on hold. And like,
did my email ever get to anybody? Who knows? Was it deleted? Like, were people, did people laugh at it? And, you know, like, I don't know. Did someone try to pursue it? Maybe they did pursue it and caught him. Like, I have no idea. I was obsessed with like Googling it constantly. And I, you know, did they dredge this lake? Did they, whatever? Cause like, you know, like all these things that she told me. And then I finally was like, I gotta get back to my life.
To your life.
Yeah.
You can't be a person and have three kids and all this stuff. And then also just like randomly take on somebody else's murder. Although I have no kids, Catherine, if you want to come here, I have some extra time on my hands. Anyway, I don't own a pendulum, but that's because I have no powers. And that's why I am obsessed with doing this podcast where I get to talk to people that are so much more in tune than me. Okay. So anyway, so you get your pendulum at the health food store.
I do. Which is I talked to
New Jersey.
Yeah. And okay. in Montclair, New Jersey. Yeah. So, so I get my pendulum. So now cut to, years later, and my family moves for a brief unpleasant time to Southern Ohio. And it's a very volatile time. It's leading up to the 2016 election. And anyway, we move into this house that is this McMansion, right? Because when you live on the East Coast and then you move to Southern Ohio, you're like, everything's on sale.
Yeah, I'm rich.
Oh my God. What? How much does a house cost? So we moved to this McMansion and we were like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know? And I didn't really get a bad feeling when I went to see it. I was mostly concerned about finding a place. Like out there, there's so much space. Mm-hmm. And my kids were used to houses right next to each other and kids playing in the street. Right. Yeah. And so I tried to find a place like that. And this one neighborhood, the houses were very close together, but big. And, behind the houses, there are these man-made canals. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. It looks like a Hollywood set. There are these man-made canals and you can like have a rowboat or a canoe or whatever. And I thought my kids were so sad about leaving New Jersey that I was like, well, this is cool. Like, this is something weird and cool that they could like be psyched about, right? So I was more sort of enamored with that. And I didn't really tune into the house, which is unlike me. Like I usually, before that, like when we would, because we moved a bunch of times and looked at lots of houses. And if I got a bad feeling, I was like, nope. And like would turn around and leave. And I didn't really feel that way here, but I think it was because I was just so desperate to find something kind of cool and unusual for my kids.
Yeah.
So we move in, unbeknownst to us until weeks later, the day before we moved in, the police tape was taken down on the house, two houses down from us. The guy there had put a gun in his mouth and killed himself.
Oh my gosh.
And the wife found him and she never went back to the house. So the whole time we were living there, it was just like overgrown and dark and nobody ever, nobody ever set foot in the yard or the house. So, and that was just like, and when I did find out about it, it was just like, oh my God, that's so sad. So tragic. You know, like I wasn't creeped out so much as just like, what a tragedy, like just so sad, you know? So shortly after we moved in, I started getting a really bad feeling in the house, like a real heavy, dark feeling. Mm-hmm. And the house was like really ostentatious and I redo houses, you know, so that was my first order of business. Like I had already lined up contractors and I was already like day one, like take down everything. We're going to start painting, whatever.
Is that one of your many professions? Is that you redo houses?
I do. It's not so much I have done it a few times for people, but I really have just like, since I've been in my 20s, like my husband and I will buy a house, we'll redo it. And usually it's more life that makes us move, but we end up like flipping the house we lived in all the time. Like I move in, I always buy like the worst house on the block and then fix it up and then sell it at a profit. Like that's
it's just so funny because I'm seeing you and I'm like, I'm admiring your house and have been since we got out.
Well, that's what I did with this house.
It's
I
just beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you. So the contractor takes down these curtains, and they have, they're ugly, but they're expensive curtains. Like they have this like muslin backing and they're like very heavy drapes. And I look at them, I see these streaks, these like dark brown, reddish streaks, right? And I like bend down to look at them because they're on the floor and there's blood streaked down the back of these curtains, just streaks of blood. And I'm bending down, looking at it. And the contractor goes, yeah, it's really creepy, right? And I was like, what the hell? Now I know that the family that lived there before had a teenage girl that seemed like pretty dark, you know, like her, like the stuff that was on her walls and stuff. She seemed kind of, I don't know, emo or like whatever, you know,
goth
kind of. And then this is when we first went to see the house. I also noticed that the older son, he was looked to be about 20. Mm-hmm. He dashed from one room to another. I never got a look at him. It was weird. Like they knew we were coming and they didn't leave the house. They would just like move from one room to another and not acknowledge us.
Instead of just being like, hi.
Yeah. It was so strange, right? So this guy dashes from, there's like an upstairs family room. And then his room was across the hallway. And as we're walking up the stairs, he dashes from the upstairs family room into his bedroom. And as he's running, I don't see him, but because I'm coming up the stairs, my eyes are even with the floor because it's like a,
catwalk.
A railing going across the hallway. So you can see, you know, and I see an ankle bracelet. Like house arrest.
Yes.
On his foot. And I was like, what is that? So, okay. So now we move in. I feel this darkness. I haven't quite found out yet that the guy killed himself two doors down, but.
Where were these curtains streaked with blood?
They had been in that upstairs family room that this kid dashed from.
Okay.
But now I didn't see them until they were taken down and were like down in front of the front door to be like brought out to the garbage. Right.
Right. Okay.
So what I surmise when I look at the blood, right? When I like really open up the drapes and look at the pattern of the blood is it looks like somebody was cutting themselves and wiping the blood on the drapes.
Okay.
Like going from as tall as they could be down to the bottom and wiping the blood on the drapes.
That's so sad. Yeah.
Super sad, right? But again, like just sad, not right. Like at first I'm like, what the hell? But then when I looked at it, I was like, oh man, like one of these kids is having some trouble. You know, like I just felt really sympathetic. And but there's this bad feeling, right? And my husband leaves the next, like we move in on Sunday, Monday he leaves for Europe and I'm surrounded by boxes and I have three kids and two 12-year-olds and a 4.5-year-old. And so now I'm just unpacking and it's summer and I'm trying to keep them busy and unpack stuff. And they're just getting, like, they don't want to sleep in their rooms that night. And I'm like, well, it's a new house, whatever. I get it, you know? Mm-hmm. So they sleep with me. Then my husband comes back. Then they want to sleep on the floor in sleeping bags. They don't want to be in their rooms. And then like, as I'm there longer, doors start slamming. Like I'm downstairs and I hear a door slam upstairs and I yell up because I think the kids are outside. But then I'm just like yelling my kids' names thinking, oh, somebody's in the house. And then I look in the backyard and all three kids are in the backyard.
Woo! Okay.
And there was this gas fireplace in the kitchen, like a decorative fireplace. And in order to turn it on, you had to flip a wall switch and then use a remote control. Mm-hmm. It's like a two-part process to turn on this gas fireplace. And I'm in bed one night and the kids are asleep around me And all of a sudden I hear like the fireplace lit.
Right? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Sound of like a gas ignition, right? Like, yes. It's unmistakable.
Yes.
But I'm like, that couldn't be though. Cause like you have to flip a switch and then use a remote control. Right. So I go downstairs by myself to the kitchen and there's the fireplace blazing.
Okay.
So stuff like this keeps happening. I tell my husband, I am not liking it here. It's not feeling good. He's feeling really unsupported. He's in a new job. He's saying that I'm being negative and I'm not giving it a chance and blah, blah, blah. So he comes home.
And your kids are also feeling this way too, right?
Well, I'm not, I didn't tell them about the door slamming or the fireplace because I don't want them to be freaked out.
Right.
So I'm trying to shield them from everything. And when they say I have the creeps, I don't go, you're crazy. I just go, okay, come over here and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I don't say like, I know this house is super creepy. So, so my husband, comes home now from another trip and I'm just in a dark place. It's the only way I can describe it. Like I'm not myself. I'm in a bad mood, but it's not just like a normal bad mood. And there was a pool in our community, like in our neighborhood. And he's like, you know, let's go to the pool. And I said, I don't want to. I'm just going to stay here and unpack more boxes in my closet. Right. And I'm someone who gets up and gets dressed and gets moving. You know what I mean? And it's like 11 noon maybe. And I'm still in my pajamas, which is mm-hmm. not like me at all. And I go into my closet and I sit down on a bench in there. And this voice, clear as a bell, says to me, you should put a gun in your mouth and blow your head off. They would be so much better off.
Oh my God. What kind of voice is this?
It wasn't like a demonic voice. It wasn't like the voice itself was scary. It was like a reasonable voice. It wasn't like some kind of a like kind of voice.
Right.
Which I think made it worse because I listened. Like I wasn't like, holy shit. Like I was like entertaining it for a second, which like I've never held a gun. I've never had a gun. I will never have a gun. Like if God forbid, I was ever in that state of mind for real, this is the last way that I would do it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It would mm-hmm. never even be in my realm of like in the realm of possibilities for me.
Was it a man's voice or? Like, could you tell the gender? Was it like, it was like a human voice, but it was like nondescript
and gender indifferent. Like I couldn't really tell, but it was calm and like reasonable. And for a second I thought, you're right. And all of a sudden I heard there were like alarms on the doors and windows and stuff. And so when you opened a door, it would go ding, ding, like a little faint thing. And I heard the front door go ding, ding. And I immediately jumped up and I felt like this deep shame. Mm-hmm. And I ran out into the hall because I was just like freaked out. And my 12-year-old son came running up the stairs and he just looked at me and I looked at him and we just hugged and we just started sobbing. And like, we didn't even talk about it. Like he goes, please come to the pool. And I said, I will, I'm coming right now. And I like threw my suit on and went back with him. And like, it was so dark and terrible that like neither one of us could even talk about it.
Did you talk later about why he came running in at that moment?
No.
It was just like something.
Good somehow. He never brought it up again. I didn't bring it up again. I felt such a deep shame about it, even though it wasn't me. It felt like it was me. And I don't know.
And he just happened to be running back.
He had a bad feeling. Like he said like something along the lines of like, he came up the stairs and he was like, Mom. And like, as he said it, his voice kind of cracked, like he started to cry. And he said like, I have a bad feeling, like I don't want you here or something like that. He said, please come to the pool. And I was like, I am. And we were both just like crying. And I was like, I will right now, you know?
And then you guys, never talked about it again. That was,
we just walked to the pool and just tried to like put it behind us. So a couple months later, you know, I'm still like little weird things are happening that I'm just keeping to myself for the most part. And I'm just trying to make the best of things. And then our neighbor across the street said, came over one day when I was like taking packages out of my car. And he's like, how do you feel living in a house that somebody, you know, he goes, do you feel okay living in a house that somebody died in? And I go, what? So he said, the oldest kid who lived here, he was hooked on opioids and then heroin. And he said, and he, one of his buddies came over and they shot up and the friend died, overdosed here and died.
Oh no.
And
so that also explains the house arrest.
Yeah. So then it made sense, right? Meanwhile, what starts happening, and I can't remember if maybe one time it happened before this guy said this, somebody came to the door and they asked, they said like, is Jesse here or something? And I said, no, there's nobody named Jesse that lives here. And then after that, several very messed up looking young adults, ding dong, at my house with like their hoods pulled up and their eyes sunken in. I'm like, listen, you're not going to get drugs here. Jesse doesn't live here anymore. Tell all your friends not come to my house or I'm going to kill you. I have kids.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 So wow.
That was a whole nother wrinkle. And so then, you know, this stuff keeps happening, the door's slamming. And I said to my husband, like, I'm not like, we don't want to live here anymore. At this point, we had been there like 11 months, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the kids are miserable. I'm miserable. You're never home. We don't want to be here anymore. And so I call a realtor. I'm like, come and take pictures and put the house on the market. And we put the house on the market and I take my kids and go to the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And my husband's still in the house and this is the first time he's been there by himself. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know all of the like signs of like, I don't know, bad energy or dark, whatever, haunting stuff.
Right.
But he's home alone and in our bedroom, he's laying in bed and this horrible rotting flesh smell comes into the room and he is like, oh my God, something, there's a dead animal in here.
Yeah.
It's like something got into the room and died. And he's looking like under the dresser, under the bed, like everywhere. Can't find it. He's looking around the house. He can't find it. He can't find it. He can't find it. And he finally goes and sleeps in one of the kids' rooms because he can't stand the smell. It smells like rotting meat. And and it kept coming and going, like while he was home alone, it would be gone, then it would be back again, then it would be gone, then it would be back again. So, and he didn't mention it to me until much later when we had moved back to New Jersey. And it kind of came up matter of factly and he was like, oh my God, because he didn't know what it meant, right? So put the house on the market and in order to sell it, there's like a roof leaking like over the porch and I have to have somebody come and fix it. So I ask a neighbor and they're like, oh yeah, there's this company that does a lot of the repairs in this neighborhood. So this guy comes and he's fixing the roof and he goes, it was really crazy what happened in this house, right? And I said, yeah, it was really sad. I go, I know the opioid crisis has really hit this area hard. And he goes, opioid crisis? And I go, yeah, a teenager overdosed in our house, I heard, like a neighbor told me. I'm like, mm-hmm. We didn't know it until we owned the house already. He goes, I don't know anything about that. He goes, I'm talking about the woman that killed herself. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, She put a gun in her mouth and shot herself in your closet.
Oh, where you heard the voice telling you to do exactly that?
Yep.
Oh my God.
And I said,
I'm gonna cry.
I don't know about that. And he goes, I know about it. I had to come in and replace the rugs and clean the walls and repaint everything.
Oh God.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't get out of this house soon enough. And then I was very conflicted about, oh, and I left out the part about, so I have this pendulum, right? I have this pendulum that I had gotten and I always kept it with me. I if I was going somewhere overnight or whatever, I would put it in my purse, right? I have like a little satchel that I keep it in. Like I'm very careful with it. Mm-hmm. We moved to Ohio. I get to Ohio. I can't find it. I tear apart all the boxes, the luggage, like every pocket. I look in everything, every bag, cannot find it anywhere. I fly home to New Jersey for my birthday to see my friends. And my one friend says, can you go look at this yoga studio I'm thinking of like taking over and starting a business with? I want to see if you use your pendulum to see if it's like a good space, like good energy and whatever. I said, I would love to, but I can't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. So she gives me for my birthday, a new pendulum. And this pendulum is made of this certain crystal that is, I found out later, is protective against dark energy. Mm-hmm. And so I use it we go to the space. It's a great space. She ends up, starting a business there. It was great. I get back to Ohio and I go to put this pendulum down on my wood nightstand. I don't put it down hard. It's just wood. It's not metal or whatever. And I go to put it down gently and it like touches the wood and shatters. It just goes pop and like explodes.
Oh my God. And
I did research and I found out that like, that's what happens with this crystal if there's like really bad dark energy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I could not find my pendulum the entire time I lived in this house. And I ended up leaving the neighborhood and just going and parking somewhere. And I just used my necklace and I asked. As a pendulum, yeah.
Okay.
And I said, do I have my pendulum? Like, is it gone? And it said, no. I said, do I have it? It said, yes. I said, can you tell me where it is? It said, no. I said, is there a reason that you can't tell me where it is? It said, yes. I said, is it because it's not safe to use it in my house? It said, yes.
Oh my God.
And the day we moved into our new house in New Jersey, I found my pendulum.
Oh my God. Where was it?
In a pocket of a zip pocket of a purse.
Yeah.
I looked in.
Right.
Where I would keep it.
Oh my God. Okay. This is crazy. And can I, not crazy like you're crazy, but your stories are wild. And I have a question, like, so this horrible thing has happened in your house. Do you think that the voice talking to you, do you think that this evil entity was the woman who died by suicide, or was it something else and that she was a victim of?
I think she was a victim of it. And what I ended up doing was I sat in my bathroom and I said to her, we sold, right? Like this family finally like put an offer in on the house. We were like, yes. And I felt really bad, right? Cause it was a family. And like, I had to get out of here and I had to get my family out of here, but I also didn't want another family to suffer.
Right.
So I went, I found sage, a ton of it. I went to a store in like downtown Cincinnati, found sage. And I said, to the woman, I just started talking to her and I said, I'm so sorry about what happened to you. I can't imagine what you felt like to do that. And I said, and I heard that voice in my closet, and I imagine that you heard it too. And maybe you were gun owners, and it was something that was easily done in mm-hmm. a moment of bad judgment or whatever influence. And I just felt such deep compassion for her. Like, I was in tears, and I said, I am so, so sorry, but like, this is not your place. Like, you have to cross over. This is not your home, and you need to go into the light. You deserve to go into the light. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter that you took your own life. You were desperate. You were sad. You were, I don't know what, but you shouldn't be trapped here. You should be in the light. Mm-hmm. And I said, and while I was talking to her, the lights were flickering. And I just kept talking. And I said, you know, I am so sorry for everything that you went through, but you have to leave here now. And I said, I'm going to use sage on this whole house, and I don't want to force you out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to push you out of this house with sage. I want you to leave of your own accord and go toward the light. And I said, but whatever else is in here beyond you, because there's something bad, I said, that I am going to force out with sage and prayers. And in the meantime, like, you need to go. You need mm-hmm. to go and find your ancestors, whoever mm-hmm. you need to be with, but you shouldn't be here. And I really felt like she left. That's, I really did. The lights amazing. Stopped. They stayed on. They stopped flickering after I talked to her.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her again, like, are you here? The lights didn't flicker anymore. And then I just went over the whole, every inch of the house. I went up on ladders. I covered every inch of the house with sage, and I opened the window a little bit to make sure that, like, I don't know how it works exactly.
You're supposed to, like, invite them to leave. Yes.
Yeah. No, I was like, you have to get out. And I cracked the window to make sure that, like,
there was somewhere to go.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you can go through glass or whatever, but I just made sure, like, there was an open window. And I was like, there's a family moving in. You don't belong here. You need to leave them alone and get out of this house. And I really feel like that, because it wasn't like it was this super old house. It was like mm-hmm. 11 years old. And the guy two doors down, same thing.
That scares me. That's crazy. And it's both my guns
built on an old slave cemetery or an old, you know what I mean? Something.
There's something. Yeah. 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 I mean, it's like two suicides, two doors down, and an overdose.
Fashion.
And like, hey, I'm from the Midwest. So I'm from a place where there's like really big houses that aren't that expensive, and then a lot of like drug problems and blah, 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 blah. So it doesn't feel impossible to me. I mean, this is like exactly what I know from growing up, but it is like, it is just like a lot in a little space, you know? holy cow. Wow.
And so my husband found out what that rotting flesh smell is, like, means, which is a dark entity, which, so like, from what I have now researched since mm-hmm. then, when something really horrible happens, a murder, I mean, not always, I don't know about a suicide necessarily. I think there could be like residual sort of sadness and darkness, but I don't think it's like evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But whatever, when something really bad has happened in a place or on a certain land or whatever, dark energy can like become a thing, right? Like it like collects mm-hmm. and becomes an entity.
Okay.
And yeah. It's not a ghost. It's not the spirit of somebody who died. Mm-hmm. It's its own thing. And it's really bad. Really bad.
Like kind of how if you don't clean your house, you don't think about all of the like skin and dog hair and everything that's around, but then if you don't clean for a couple weeks, it just kind of comes together in little piles on the floor like that. But evil
dust bunny. And that's what apparently, when there's a dark entity, not a ghost, but a dark entity, it smells like rotting flesh.
So did that, so yeah, my next question was, what does your family think? Like, does your husband believe you? Do your kids believe you? Like, what do they think of all this? Yeah.
Yeah. After he found out that that's what that means, that's when he told me. He was like, oh my God, when you guys were away, this is what happened to me. And I kept searching for a dead animal and I never found a dead animal. And then he did believe me.
Wow. Wow. And as far as your kids, like they,
and
I mean,
my kids, I never, also like toys would turn on.
Oh, like, you had that
my
too.
My little son had like Thomas Tank Engine toys and some of them had batteries that you would like press the button and it would like go and they would just go by themselves. And I've had that, like my friend that I was telling you about, whose mom passed and whose dad had passed when she was very young. Years ago, she had asked me to talk to her dad, and I did. And when I was talking to him, like, she had a bunch of questions for him. And so I just used the pendulum to answer her questions. And then I hung up the phone with her, and it was right after Christmas. And then again, my husband's traveling. I'm in the family room by myself. It's like, I don't know, end of December. And my son had gotten these remote control, like my first remote control car.
Mm-hmm.
And goes on. It's got little lights, little police lights. Police lights go on and it's going around. But I didn't have a bad feeling. I it's not fun when you're home alone.
Right.
It's like, what the hell? But I didn't, it wasn't like this house in Ohio. Like I was like, So I picked it up and I looked at it. It switched to off.
Uh-huh.
It has to be switched on for you to use the remote. Switched
right.
to off, pull down, go sit down, right? Starts going again. And I called my friend. I go, was your dad like a joker? And she goes, yes, he was the biggest practical joker. He was always like playing tricks on people and whatever. And I go, okay, yeah. I'm like, that makes sense. I'm like, because he wants me to know he's still here and he is playing jokes on me. And so I hung up the phone with her and I just talked to him. And I was like, look, I appreciate that you're like a joker.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm a mom with three kids sleeping upstairs and you're kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he stopped.
Oh, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, you have such a special gift. This is wild. So like, how long has it been since you moved out of that house in Ohio and how do you use your gifts now?
It's been like 6 years. And yeah, like I don't do it very often. I'll do it for friends, you know, a handful of friends who know it, like not all my friends do, but a handful of friends who know it, or like, you know, if I've had someone close to me who loses somebody, and I feel like they're open to it or that it would be healing for them,
mm-hmm.
I'll say like, hey, you know, I can do this if you ever want it. And I don't know that right now is the time, you know, if it's just like a couple of weeks or even a couple of months after, but if you decide that there's something left unsaid or there's a question in your mind, or like, it can give you peace of mind. Like my dad had a DNR order. He was in a nursing home and he had a DNR order.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did die, they ignored it and they, like he was really ready to go, you know, his life didn't have much of a quality of life. And so he went into cardiac arrest and instead of just letting him go peacefully, I had him in a place right near my house. They, when I finally got to the hospital and I saw him, he had a whole apparatus down his throat and a, you know, like a, the thing they do to
like a mask of oxygen. And,
to resuscitate him. Right. It was on him. And like, he, like they had obviously like paddled him, and it was really upsetting to me. And I, like when I came in and I saw it and I started to cry and I said, please take that off of him. Like, please take that out. Right. And they said, no, we can't until like the coroner comes. And like, I just wanted to sit with my dad, and he had this whole apparatus down his throat and his, and so they left, and I just took it out myself. And I just like put his clothes, like buttoned up his shirt, and like took care of him, you know? And like, and I was like, fuck them. He's my dad. I don't gotta tell
him. And he has a DNR order. Yeah.
And by the way, assholes, he, you know, like you had no right to do this to him. Mm-hmm. And it made me so sad to think that he was like shocked and like chest compressions and thinking of him in all that pain, right? Mm-hmm. It was so upsetting. And so I went home that night and I got my pendulum and I talked to him. And I said, like, I'm so sorry that they didn't respect you. I am so sorry that they put you through that. And he was able to tell me, like, I was already gone. I didn't feel any of it.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
To me, you know what I mean? And so I just felt like if there's ever like a situation like that, where I can talk to someone's loved one and give them some peace of mind, you know, like I want to do that.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. So, oh my gosh. Do you feel like because you have this ability, has it rubbed off on anyone in your family, like your kids, your husband? Like, do you feel like, have they ever tried to work with a pendulum?
Well, I don't advise kids to do it because they're just so naturally open that, like my daughter, you know, always wanted to use my pendulum, and I was like, absolutely not. This is not a toy. Mm-hmm. And children are way too vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So when you're older, if you are interested, we can talk about it. And so she's 18 now, and we were in New Orleans, and there, we went to like, there's a lot of metaphysical stores and stuff there. And so there were pendulums, and she saw one she really liked. And I was like, okay, I'm like, but this isn't something you, this isn't some kind of slumber party toy that you're going to pull out with your friends. I'm like, we're going to sit down and you're going to learn how to use this responsibly. And I told her about how you always have to, you know, ask for God to bless it and ask to only work in the light and to only speak to the people that you want to speak to. And she tried it a couple of times, but it didn't really
do anything.
And she kind of lost interest. So,
yeah. Oh, fascinating. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been an incredible story time. I got chills like 20 times. Is there anything else that I glossed over or missed? Or anything else you want to talk about?
I mean...
Oh, I have one quick question. Yeah. Very quick and easy. Since you have this ability, what do you think happens when you die?
There's definitely life after death, without a doubt. You do go into the light and you become part of this
collective subconscious sort of thing.
Collective love, this like, and I didn't get there because it wasn't my time. But I didn't, I mean, I was aware of where I was. I was aware that I wasn't in pain anymore. I was aware that I wasn't struggling to breathe anymore. Like I was still there. I wasn't floating above my body, watching them resuscitate me. I wasn't, I couldn't see anything or hear anything, but I was at peace. And I was just sort of in a holding space until my body could receive me again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's definitely life after death.
Wow. It's amazing that you, that you like remember that and that, that's very clear. That's really wonderful. Oh, I love it. Wow. Well, thank you so, so much. This has been amazing and enlightening. I feel like alive and great. I was going to take a nap after this. No way. No way, baby.
I'm glad you feel energized.
Yeah, I feel up now. Eileen, tell everybody where they can find you on the internet and plug whatever you would like to plug.
I'm under Eileen Kelly Comedian on Instagram. I am under Eileen Kelly on Facebook. I think it might be Eileen Kelly parentheses comedian on Facebook because there's a million of us.
As an Emily Winter, I understand your problem. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
It was so fun talking to you.
And thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you like this podcast, subscribe. Review, tell everybody if you don't mind, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Emily MC Winter. Again, that's Emily MC Winter. My website's emilywintercomedy.com, and I hope we get in contact and talk about ghosts, because I love to build my ghost community. Thank you, and see you next week.